It was Simchat Torah, 8 o'clock in the morning. I left the house. In Moshav Yonatan, we have a beautiful Moshav Kiddush for the entire Moshav, so every family brings something. So I carried a heavy six-pack of water on my shoulder on the way to Shul. But besides the six-pack of the water on my shoulder, there was something else on my shoulder. On my mental shoulder, there was something that troubled me a little, something personal that troubled me a little. And as I was walking, I was telling myself, almost, by the time you come to shul, resolve it, because any Shabbat and any day, and definitely Simchat Torah, you don't want to go into the shul with this issue troubling you. And that's true. Psukei Dezimra were given to us specifically for that, to prune away any thoughts which are not relevant to the tefillah. Why do I say prune? Because that's what Zimra literally means. We know that from the Malachot of Shemitah. There's an aspect of song which has to do with pruning, removing any thoughts which are not focused. But halfway to the shul, a neighbor stops me and says something. And at first I thought he was going to say, you know, why are you carrying on your shoulder? And then all of a sudden I hear him saying, you know, I just want to update you. I don't know how he was updated, but a war broke out down south, and they did another, or this is the second Yom Kippur War. The moment I heard that, I understood that overnight, our world changed. Everything received a different proportion. The issue that troubled me disappeared on the spot, and I understood before I got to shul that the world is never going to be anymore the same. I'm sure many people, even abroad, who are watching us right now, definitely people here in Eretz HaKodesh, experienced in a very intense way something for the younger of the crowd maybe never experienced before. For the older in the crowd, we may have experienced that in the past, but my sense is that this time, more than any other time in the past, I can definitely speak for myself. And that is, all of life turned upside down. And everything changed its proportion. The feeling that I have, that many here in Eretz HaKodesh have, that we entered into a world which is no longer going to be the same. And you're thinking about it from a Torah perspective, from a godly perspective, we'll say it even deeper, we've entered into the world which is not meant to ever remain again the same as it was. And if there's any truth in that, that means that any one of us who's going to try with his nails to put his hands and hold on to the world that was and not change as a result of this major change that the world has gone through, might be one of the most tragic, if not the most tragic, choice that he may make in life. You feel this from every single direction. All the way up north where we live in the Golan, from every single person. I joined the Shmirah of the Kitat Konanut, small unit amongst us civilians. Some of them, that's their reserve service. Some of us just joined, anybody who has a gun, to do Shmirah on the Moshav. We're close to the border. Hashem Yishmo, what could be. And as I'm standing there at the main gate one day, at the end of last week, somebody drives by who's my age, who ended up, he was with me in class back in third grade. He said, why are you got in, you have uniform, why not me? I turned to the guy in charge. It was like, it wasn't a joke. He was like, that's not fair. I know a Rav who told me on Friday night, I have so much experience with identifying bodies, Shem Yishmarenu, and taking care of them. He's a Rav, very significant Rav, big posek, and has a lot of experience with Chesed Shel Emet. And I tried so hard to try somehow. Why don't they take me? Down to small things. Last night at 11 o'clock at night, my wife dashed out of the house. I never seen my wife run so fast. Where are you running to? I'll drive you. No, no, no. Because they sent out a message. There is a platoon of soldiers, Golani soldiers and reserves, who are in Yonatan, at least these days. Maybe they'll be transferred to somewhere else. They put out a message in the women's group that they have bags of laundry. So she ran out, chas v'shalom, not to miss out on doing the laundry. It's a feeling that you get everywhere in the country right now. What happened this time? More so than any other time in the past. And I've lived through wars here. Yes, I was a little kid, but I was here at the Six-Day War. Definitely remember the Yom Kippur War, the Lebanon War, the Intifadas, Tzuk Eitan, everything. I was there. I was here in Eretz Yisrael. Something is different this time. A few hours later into Hakafot on Simchat Torah, somebody banged on the bima and they screamed out, "Yesh kan mishu Amichai Levi? Yesh kan Amichai Levi? Amichai Levi is our nephew." Okay, he learned in the yeshiva Kiryat Shmona for 2 years. Wonderful, sweet Ben Torah. Big, strong guy. He's now a few months in Sayeret Egoz, one of the elite units. And they somehow got a hold of the fact that he is in Yonatan by Yazan the Golan. And they screamed out, "Come." He dashed out. I ran after him. He took one of the cars to drive off. You should have seen him leaving the house. The guy was in a rage. Interestingly enough, I thought about it afterwards. His second name is Pinchas. A rage. What's a rage about? We're talking positive rage. Pinchas-like rage. Rage means my entire being is in this. The way Pinchas approached what he approached with his kanot. My entire being is here. For the full, that's why he left the house. We were all concerned that he's going to drive like a madman. He was full of rage. He had to open up his phone. He saw the reports. We didn't know the details yet. I heard bits and pieces over the course of davening. This rage is not only of Jews. Somebody sent me yesterday, New York's mayor, his speech. I think the truth is we could have done without Amos Lubin on this Zoom. We could have invited the New York mayor and he would have done a better job. I don't know him. I never heard of him. I never knew his name till yesterday. Chazal say, Nikarim divrei emet. You can tell the truth. From the little that I saw, the guy is in rage. I didn't hear President Biden's speech, but a good friend of mine, a neighbor, listened carefully, said he spoke from a different level. I told him it was probably from that level of what we say in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, HaMamlich Melachim V'lo Melucha. The kings of the world are not appointed here. It's channeled through elections here. But who appoints kings? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Malchei HaMelachim appoints every single king in the world. Because they are all puppets, Torah says, in the historical master plan. From that place, that speech came down. What happened on this case? What happened in Simchat Torah, Hey Tafshin Pei Daled, in the days that followed? What's happening now? What happened more so than any other time in the past? I think, La'aniyut da'ati, the depth of evil, the passion of evil. I asked people, everybody on shul, I couldn't get home from davening. It took me 2.5 hours to get home from shul. Everybody wanted to talk. Everybody stopped to talk, to hear opinions, what you heard. So I asked some of the guys, I shmooze with a lot. I said, can you explain to me, you want to come in to destroy the Zionist or the Jewish state? Come, destroy, kill. That wasn't the case. It didn't end there. I said, what's that passion, that desire to demolish, to rape and murder? It's not sexual desire. It's so much deeper. What's the depth of the passion that something is not fulfilled in you? Your desire has not reached its peak. If you did not tie together a few kids and shoot them in their head, why can't you be Yotze your wish to destroy the Jews just by shooting them. What's the point of having to tie them down and burn them to death? There's a passion over here of evil that we can't chop, that we don't understand. I don't understand the depth of it. We understand different desires in the world. We're challenged by some of them. What's the desire to demolish and to destroy with such intense energy of hate? All garments have been removed. And everybody knows that now. Jews and non-Jews, in Israel and outside. You can no longer dust anything under the carpet. And you cannot postpone anything. That's it. It came out. The true face of these Bnei Ishmael came out into the world. Again, what is the depth? What's the secret of the pleasure? For years, me and my wife talk about it. That's been clear for years. We get life from life. They get life from death. They see blood. They see death. It gives them chiyus. We've seen that so many times. A friend of mine who came to a Shabbat meal reminded me. There was a terrible event years ago in Ramallah, where two soldiers by mistake drove into Ramallah. They lynched them. They shechted them. Okay, it's not a chiddush. The point though is that there was, like, I think on the second floor where they did it. Down below there was the masses of Arabs. And the guy who shechted picked up his hands, full of blood, and he goes, ah! And all the people go, whoo! What's the passion? What does it mean to draw life from killing, demolishing bodies even after they're dead? Evil has been exposed to reveal itself in its most purified, if one may say, way. Possibly like never before. And being, as we read on Shabbat, that the world that we live in is defined as Etz Hadat Tov Vara, which can be spoken about for years, but on the level of discussion right now, what it means, that in the world of Olam Hazeh, which Etz Hadat Tov Vara defines, the Tov and the Ra are clarified one through the other. It's a profound point. I think it's the secret of what's going on over here. The deeper the evil that comes out, the deeper the tov that comes out in those who experience life and look at life and feel life, the total opposite of it. The deeper the evil, the deeper the good. All the good, all the desire for chesed, all the need. I'm running, I can't, don't stop me, I'm going to get laundry to do for the chayalim. What is that? It's the same exact desire, but completely polar opposite. When the desire of death and evil reaches its peak, the desire to good is forced out of us like never before. It's hada'at. Da'at doesn't mean knowledge. I've spoken about it many shiurim. Da'at means to connect with. It means to identify with, to become one with. As the famous pasuk that we read also on Shabbat, the ha'adam yada et chava ishto, meaning a bonding of identification. That's the secret of the bond of a husband and a wife. The Etz Hadat Tov Vara means, what do I identify with? What do I become one with? And as we see people who their identification is with purity of evil, of cruelty, of death, of blood, in ways that we are, it's unfathomable. It evokes in us the polar opposite. And you see it in every corner, at least here in Eretz HaKodesh. And I heard that in the words of the mayor of New York. I mean, even a guy chaps that. V'im tomar, and if you ask me, we hear, but 70 years ago, there was no less cruelty. I heard this year descriptions from a woman, it was on the radio, from 70 years ago of a magnitude that I never heard before. One thing I remember, that she remembers a Nazi standing in the window. You'll forgive me, but this is the time to discuss such things. Taking a little baby, live, and tearing him to two. Tearing him into two. From his two legs, two parts. That's what she saw. 70 years ago already that these things were. You know, people in Israel are always extremely careful because people are quick to compare things to Nazis. People are quick to compare things to the Holocaust. And everybody responds and says, no, the Holocaust is something which is non-comparable. Umid donalachnika, nothing compares. Until Simchat Torah this year. Now people allow themselves to say the atrocities that we've seen, we haven't seen in 70 years. That was the last time. So you say, 70 years ago? I want to talk for 2 minutes about the difference between the two. For some years, I had a zchut. I was much younger, I was in my 20s, to escort and to be over Sukkot and Pesach, when I was not yet married, with my grandfather, Alav HaShalom, and his wife, and step-grandmother, in a hotel for the elder crowd in Tiberias, Malon Ariston. One day, we're sitting on the porch, on the balcony, overlooking the Kinneret, and, you know, moments like that bring out levels of conversation that ordinary life in their house in Petah Tikva never brought about. I don't know what led me to, I said Zeta, that's what we called him. Like, when did you first, his whole entire family was murdered by the Nazi, Yimach Shman B'Zicham. All of his Sfarim, I have the schut of having many of them. In the first volume, in Kehati Mishnayot, and the Shas, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Tur, all has a Yizkor to all of his family, his entire family. He left in 33, I think. He escaped because his wife was already in America, or she was his fiancée at the time. So when did you first hear? He said in 1945. But, listen carefully, he says to me, and he was not a person of dreams, and he was very halachic, very rational. He told me, in the winter of 1943, one night, in the middle of Chodesh Tevet, my mother came to me in my dream. We had no clue what was going on in Europe. She came to me in my dream, and she says, "They're killing me, they're killing me." I woke up, I had no idea what it was. In 1945, he says, and then he broke down crying. He says, they found out what happened. It was clear to him that she came to him as it was happening in the dream. And then he cried even stronger that he doesn't forgive himself for not having written down the date, because it would have been clear to him that that's her yahrzeit. To that extent, the dream was real. That should have been. He doesn't remember the date. What's the point I'm trying to say? The difference is that in this case, endless, hundreds of stories, because of technology and cellular phones, that kids were calling from the party or from the kibbutzim around. Their parents, they're killing me, the same thing. And you find out now in real time as it is happening in the present. Not 2, 3, 4, 5 years later, when it's already somewhat diluted and it's part of the past. How do we deal with such atrocities of the past? How do we deal with the fact that our family was shechted a few years ago? Now it's real. That's the, in a sense, the positive aspect of technology. It's all in the present. It's purity of evil, not 5 years ago, now. In a way that doesn't allow, not the mayor of New York, and not the president of the United States of America, that in those years they did, and delayed and postponed, and I don't know all the history there, I've read a little, where Jews were begging them to demolish the death camps. Today, it's out, it's there, it's present. The videos are there. You can't escape it. You can't dust it under any carpet. There is no carpets. It's fully revealed, it's fully exposed. It brings to my mind pasuk that we quote a lot, we should quote a lot, we should live with this pasuk, but it receives new levels of meaning today. Parshat Nitzavim, we read it a month and a half ago, just before Rosh Hashanah. Re'e natati lefanecha hayom! Today, et ha-chaim ve'et ha-tov ve'et ha-mavet ve'et ha-ra. See, I put in front of you today life and good versus death and evil. And the psukim continue. And Torah almost begs us, u'bachalta b'chaim, choose life. I think anybody who's watching right now this Zoom here, living in Eretz HaKodesh, anybody that I know here in Eretz HaKodesh, maybe also in Chutz La'aretz, for sure here, everybody feels that their life has been turned over completely overnight. Everything petty is out. Thousands of soldiers, reserves, who were in the middle of his, you know, he's been waiting for 3 years, his entire army service, to do the Israeli thing. To go to India, to go to South America, to go to Tibet, to sit in some ashram. That's the thing, that's what everybody does. He was waiting 3 years. He got there 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago. He heard what happened. Over a moment. Out. Ma India, what Tibet? Klum. Give me a ticket, take me back to Israel. I want to be in Gaza. Some of you may have seen pictures, videos of El Al airplanes full of hundreds of young Israelis just wanting to come back. Anywhere in the world where there's war, everybody disappears, runs away from. In Eretz HaKodesh, Am Yisrael Chai, there's a war, everybody's running too, not from. Now we started Sefer Bereshit yesterday. We know the big rule, the big principle that the Ramban gives us, it already appears in Chazal, that all of Sefer Bereshit is under the title of Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim. Everybody knows that line. It starts already in Chazal. Anything that unfolds in our history has to have its genes in the book of Genesis. Everything that unfolds in our history has to have its starting points, its Bereshit point. If it's not there, it won't be there. That's the essence of Sefer Bereshit. It's not the stories of our forefathers. It's the definition on a genetic level of what history is going to unfold to the people of Israel. This experience that we all had of going to sleep at night, Simchat Torah, and waking up in the morning to a completely transformed world, and hopefully transformed self. And if I'm not yet there, I recommend trying to push myself to that transformed self place. Not easy to do, because none of us like that our stability and our plans are shaken up. But that's been the story of Jews for thousands of years, ever since we started existing. We fall into delusion sometimes. Yeah, that's part once upon a time, but more or less today I have the Daladanos of my life, and I have my plans, and nothing is going to shake it up, and it's not so relevant to me, and missiles are not falling here, and I, you know, play the game as if and nothing has been changed. And thousands of years we go through this again, and again, and again. We never are able to settle down in peace and quiet. Yemot HaMashiach, that's something else. What's the Maaseh Avot Siman Lebanim for that? Yaakov Avinu wanted to sit in tranquility. Parshat Vayeshev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. Olam Haba, not now. Yemot HaMashiach, not now. And that's been the story with Yaakov Avinu. That's the story of Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. Every time the Jews think, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm at home. The winds of history always come and change that. And we always don't learn the lesson. We're not meant to settle down in this world. At least, not for now. And those of us who know that are not overly frustrated when it happens. We understand it's just a question until it comes. There's a famous Mashach Chochma about it. Parsha Bechukotai. Every single time. That's the way Jewish history works. We come to a new place, we're newcomers, and we settle down. We think we're at home, and when that happens, the winds of history come and blow us over to the next stage. So Bezrat Hashem, and all sources talk about the fact that the return at the end of days to Eretz HaKodesh is not something that's going to change. It's something which is setting the stage for Yamot HaMashiach. So from Jews argue, what exact definition to give to that? It's the beginning of the redemption, it's the end of Galus, depends on the color of your kippah, we're not going there at all right now. But even once you get to Eretz HaKodesh, since 1948, you can't sit still for a moment. Everything is, the winds are always going to be here. Everything is always going to be completely charged on the most existential level. On a level of to be or not to be. That's why everything here is intense. Some people can't take it. They don't want to make Aliyah. I can't take the intensity of the Israelis. It's not intensity of the Israelis. It's the intensity of the Holy Land. We prefer that things are not so intense. That's what we prefer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers otherwise. And we learn that over and over the hard way. What is the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim for going to sleep at night and waking up into a world where I'm completely blows my mind? Yaakov Avinu, very close to here, he goes to sleep in Parshat Vayetze in the sight of the future Beit HaMikdash. And he wakes up from the dream with a ladder and he says, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnato Vayomer, Achen Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh V'Anochi Lo Yadati. Indeed, I don't like translating to English, as you people know. I'm going to do it anyways. Achen, indeed, Yesh Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yud Kei Vav Kei, is present in this place, and I did not know. It's Yaakov Avinu. What did he not know? It's crystal clear to me. It's not just on the level of the pshat, referring that this is the future Beit HaMikdash, as Rashi brings down. On a broader level, it means Hamakom Hazeh refers to Olam Hazeh. And just like with Yaakov Avinu, each and every one of us, Bnei Yaakov, are going to have to experience, and often time and again in their lifetime here in Olam Hazeh, the disillusionment that Yaakov Avinu experienced. I thought God wasn't so present. Apparently I was wrong, and He completely is present. In the most intense, condensed, charged way. Eretz HaKodesh by definition means the Kodesh is completely present here, whether we like it, whether we don't like it. It's completely, condensedly filling up the space. Melech ol ha'aretz kevodo, on a level of aretz being Eretz Yisrael, it's literally, this land is infused and filled with kevod, with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why this land doesn't have tolerance to anything that is opposing to that. The realization of Yaakov Avinu, it's a deep point, deep point. Kedai to take in. I thought the world was not as condensed with godliness. I realized that it is. What is this communicating with? What is this bringing back? We've touched upon it last year. People here are familiar with some of the concepts. The very core, fundamental concept of Kabbalah, that prior to the world being created, the world, all there was the infinite light with its full presence. And for the world of Olam Hazeh, for us to come into existence, God chose to constrict Himself. That's the concept, the famous Kabbalistic concept of Tzimtzum, to limit Himself, to constrict Himself, to allow for us to be, for the world to come into existence. And there's a famous machloket about that, that means to be taken literally or not literally. Most approaches, and that's in the world of Chassidut, and in the Nefesh HaChaim, is that it's not literally. That means that nothing has changed from before the world. These are not easy concepts to take in. They're highly profound and completely life-changing if one is willing to address them, internalize them. It doesn't happen overnight. One can be shaken overnight to start moving towards that place, but the processes then take time, effort, contemplation, reflection. And that is, if it's not literally, that means the world is no less filled with God presence as before the world came into existence. All that changed is that I was made with a human mind who can produce the delusion and the illusion, or society does it to me as if God is not present. That's all that changed. The world is no less filled with God presence as when He made the world. What has changed is the fact that as an observer of it, as a recipient of it, I can have the havamina that God is not present. I can completely choose to be an atheist, that we know. And what that allows and produces is the phenomena of sitting on the fence. And sitting on the fence means living some life of mediocrity. I don't have to be too intense. I don't have to be too serious. I can somehow make do. What I've told myself in the last few days is those Yimach Shman V'Zichran who tore down the fences of the Gaza Strip, forced down people off the fence. You can no longer sit on the fence. And if there's any biblical episode that this brings to mind, it's the famous, and I think it's clear to some of the older people in the room, that what I'm alluding to is the famous event with Eliyahu Hanavi on Har HaKarmel, where he brings all Klal Yisrael there, and the V'yei HaBaal of Avodah Zarah, and he turns to Bnei Yisrael, that's it, you can no longer sit on the fence. If the Baal is the God, so go be a Baal worshipper l'mahadrin. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mahadrin, don't sit on the fence. That's what I hear from the course of events. That's what I'm hearing these days. I'm only sharing my thoughts. And I think, and if it wasn't the case, I wouldn't talk about it. You look around. You see soldiers. You hear today because you see videos, stories of people who, young guys, 18, 19, 20 years old, who a moment earlier, they lived their life, you know. The way youngsters live their life, especially if they don't have a Torah background, they didn't grow up with it. And he goes and he jumps on a grenade to save his friends. In our times, people your age, where did he get that from? It's through the course of events, the purity of evil, through, and is throwing by the moment, thousands and thousands of the Jews, I'm sure also other places in the world, for sure here in Eretz HaKodesh, people who may not have any Torah background, into places, mental places, that they never knew existed within them. Of something way, way bigger than them, that they didn't know and nobody educated them. But the extremity, the intensity of the events threw them to that place. How many, many stories, most stories did not come out yet? Neighbor of mine, who was in the elite commander unit of the naval commando, on Simchat Torah, got a phone call from his friends. So we're going down. The unit didn't send them down. They got in their car. They went down. They got a gun. They started fighting. No organized. It took days for Tzahal to get to piece their pieces together. We'll touch upon it a little later. It was personal initiatives. All kind of officers, post offices, just took their jeep and ran to fight, and many of them were killed. From where? I want to read. I sent it to Rav Bader. The Rambam. In Ilchot Melachim u'Milchamot, Perek Zayin, very famous, Halachat Etvav, quoted a lot these days by boys who did learn in yeshivot or in mechinot and did get an education to prepare them for the army service. Of all sources that they learn, this is the most charged and intense source. It's most practical, mentally. Now you'll say, but that we're not soldiers. I think we all should hear it. And each person could die to reflect upon it into his own life. I'm reading inside. מי האיש על אחת הדבר, פרק זין מלכות מלכים ומלחמות. מי האיש הירד רח הלבב? Of those who go back and don't join war. We know those who start or are about to get married, those who planted a vineyard and didn't get it completed, those who, the person who started building a house. Long list. Those who do Shnai Mikra, Sefer Dvarim are familiar with it. And then, the Psukim add, and also a person who's afraid. So we don't want him to destroy it for others there, and to cause people in war to be in fear. If you have the source in front of you, you're welcome to see it inside. Mi ha'ish ha'yareh v'rach ha'levav, kemashma'o, masbir ha'rambam, she'en belibo koach, that means in his heart, he doesn't have the force, he doesn't have the energy. La'amod bekishrei ha'milchama. He doesn't have it in him, the force, the power, the energy, to withstand and to deal with a state of war. ומאחר שיכנס אדם בקשרי המלחמה, but a person who does have it in him, and is, does enter into the dynamics of war, יישען על מקווה ישראל, what he needs to do is to lean על מקווה ישראל ומושיעו, על הקדוש ברוך הוא, בעצרה, וידע, what he has to know, שעל ייחוד השם הוא עושה מלחמה. He's fighting for the ייחוד השם, וישים נפשו בכפו. He should put his life aside, ולא יירא, ולא יפחד, he should not be afraid, and he should not think about his wife or his children. It's scary to say these words. He has to erase the memory of his family from his heart. And he has to empty his heart from anything so that it's fully in war. That's the rage that we were talking about before. A rage of Kodesh. Nothing else is in my heart. וכל המתחיל לחשב, and anybody who starts thinking, ולהרהר במלחמה, and to, הוא מבהיל עצמו, and scares himself, עובר בלא תעשה. He's over in the לא תעשה. שנאמר, אל ירח לבבכם, אל תראו ואל תחפזו, ואל תארצו מפניהם. ולא עוד אלא שכל בני ישראל תלויים בצברו, he needs to be in a consciousness that all the bloods of Klal Yisrael are hanging on his neck. ואם לא ניצח ולא עשה מלחמה בכל לבו ובכל נפשו, and if he did not do this, it's as if he spilled blood. הרי זה כמי ששפך דמי הכל, שנאמר ולא יימס את לבב אחיו כלבבו, and it continues and continues. Speaking of blood, I want to quote Beta, they have the piece that I sent you? No. So I won't quote it then all if you don't have it. I'll just quote a short piece of it. Anybody interested, send me, I'll send it to you. It's a quote from the great Rav Charlap. Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. Rav Charlap, who was a Talmid, Chaver of Rav Kook. He wrote back in the 40s or 50s. He says like this, Pzurim em Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are scattered, not only physically, mentally, emotionally from each other. Upzurim em b'malachem. Their whole ways of that, if we're scattered from each other, we're lacking unity. Aval, im mitalelim b'damam shel Yisrael. Listen carefully how relevant this is. But if people are mitalel, and the blood of Klal Yisrael, Mizdazeim Kol Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael, wherever they may be, are shaken up and shocked. Bekol mekamot moshevotehem, wherever they may be. Unbelievable how relevant this feels. Hadam hu hanefesh. Quote from Torah Hashem. Not to eat blood, because blood is the soul. And the blood of Klal Yisrael, touch it. You touch the blood of Klal Yisrael, you're touching the soul of Klal Yisrael. You touch the soul of Klal Yisrael, it wakes all of us up from our sleep and from our scatteredness. The nefesh Yisrael tohorai, and the soul of Klal Yisrael is pure. V'az ha'achdut ha'ne'elemet. The latent unity that's always been all along in normative times covered up, and people quarrel and people fight with each other, all that machloket disappears. And the achdut, the oneness and the love, comes out and pours out as a result of handling Jewish blood and torturing Jewish kids and raping Jewish women and burning babies of Jews to death. You're dealing with our blood. Our soul comes out. Ki adamu anefesh. The latent, covered oneness and unity comes out of its hiding place. The koret le'ichud and calls for oneness and unification. Lechu v'nelcha yachad b'or Hashem. Ve'azazua and the shock. Hihi ha'akama l'tchiyah. The tchiyat ha'meitim of Klal Yisrael comes forth in a state of shock. Ve'hihi hatchalat ha'chazara l'tshuva ha'mele'ah. And that's the beginning of the return to full tshuva of Klal Yisrael, which we are promised to have at the end of days. There's a machloket Masechet Sanhedrin. Klal Yisrael needs to do tshuva to be redeemed at the end of days or not. Machloket Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua in Perek Chelek and Sanhedrin. The conclusion of the Gemara is they have to do tshuva to be redeemed. And if they don't, God is going to force them to do tshuva. G'dolai hasha'a, sha'at harat olam. The moment, the hour is tremendous. It's as if Rav Charlap is alive today. Not to diminish it and not to miss out on the opportunity. Not to drop in our spirit and not to fall into despair, depression. Every despair is poison, he says. And that's the basis of exile, is despair. And all that it's based on is the mimicking of the nations of the world. Because in Klal Yisrael, there's no such thing as despair and depression. And he continues and continues. As I was driving to Yerushalayim today, around close to noontime, turn on the radio to hear what's going on, what's new. They were interviewing an old woman, listen carefully, from Kibbutz Kisufim. Kibbutz Kisufim? Maybe the closest kibbutz to the border with Asa. A whole bunch of people were killed, and I think 8, if I saw the numbers properly. 4 were taken in captivity into Asa. Shem Yishmor Aleihem. She, like the rest of the kibbutz, those who remained alive, were taken to a hotel in Yam HaMelech. And the interviewer asked her, kibbutz, one of the kibbutzim in the area, they're extremely leftist. Very far away from Torah and Mitzvot. She asked her, and after everything you described, and they demolished your kibbutz, and they killed people, and took them in captivity, do you have hope? Is there any room for optimism? You know what she answered? Before I tell you what she answered, I want to take everything, we don't have that much time left, onto another level. Hey, Tafshin Pei Gimel. Here in Israel, on a very different level, everybody felt, as we were summing up, Hey, Tafshin Pei Gimel, we never had ever a year as Hey, Tafshin Pei Gimel. The hate, the animosity between different groups, the extent of negativity and hate towards Torah Mitzvot, towards Kodesh, towards Haredim, that came out this year, was always in the air, never came out as strong as this past year. It reached its culmination. Many saw it as such. On Yom Kippurim, and that's Dizengoff Square, the symbol of Tel Aviv, where they attempted to have a davening, which they have for some years. They had hundreds come, most of which are not at all dati. And they wanted to put up a mechitza. The courts said, no mechitza. Anyways, they had a tefillah there. And people came, those who are organizing a lot of the demonstrations of this past year, and they destroy the davening with loudspeakers and trumpets and everything. They had to leave. That was called Nidra night, and repeated itself again in the Ila. Then came the peak of the year, which gives birth to a new year, Simchat Torah. A few hours before Simchat Torah, the Supreme Court of Israel had to sit on an appeal to allow for Hakafot, Shniyot, and Kikar Dizengoff, which the mayor of Tel Aviv said, no, we're not going to have Hakafot, Shniyot, not in Tel Aviv. We're not going to have Sifrei Torah in Tel Aviv. A few hours before, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Supreme Court says, not with a mechitza, but they can have Hakafot, Shniyot. I told my wife, should we go to yeshiva for Hakafot? Maybe we should go to Tel Aviv. We go to sleep at night. And we wake up until morning where everything, as I said, turned upside down. Now let's go back to that old lady. Her name is Mazal from Kibbutz Kisufim. She asked her, is there any room for hope, for optimism? I said, wow, really listen carefully. As I was driving into Yerushalayim, I wanted to hear, how does a secular Jew deal with a question of optimism, with hope? On the basis of what? So she started saying, we went through a lot, and then she broke down crying. And she said, last night, in our hotel where they took us to, evacuated us to, in Yam HaMelech, as I was leaving the dining room and going up, there was a group of from people there, dancing and singing, and on the bima was a Sefer Torah. And as she's crying, she says, she's like in her 80s, she says, from the age of 17, I've never seen a Sefer Torah. She has never seen a Sefer Torah. And all of a sudden, from 17 to in her 80s, she saw the Sefer Torah, she saw the from Jews dancing around it and singing. She said, that gave me all the hope in the world. The overnight transformation from trying to prevent Sifrei Torah and dancing around them, and Jewish identity to be the identity of this land, it turned upside down. I'll elaborate on it for just 2 minutes before we wrap up. I remember back in the 90s, the night of the declaration of the Oslo agreements, Shimon Peres, who was the foreign minister at the time, gave over his vision of the new Middle East. And I remember that I was shocked out of my mind when he spoke. He spoke in front of the whole world. No, not because they were giving guns to Palestinians. I totally did not have the military scope to understand what the implications and how much bloodshed is going to come as a result. What shocked me out of my mind was the following line of his vision. He said, and at last, Nuchal liot am kechol ha'amin, we can be a nation like all other nations. I was young, I was in my 20s, I think. It's like, what? This is what the Jewish people went through, an entire, the most remarkable history in all mankind, and retained its identity to come back to the Holy Land with a quest of its leader, that at last we can be a nation like all other nations. That was the beginning of what developed over the years into the known post-Zionism era. Not in the from world, in the secular world. And what came out this past year, in the most apparent way, that post-Zionism equals post-Judaism equals post-Israelism. Progressive liberal winds coming from across the Atlantic and from Europe and penetrating into Israel and trying with so much energy to erase any differences between men, women, the Jewish people and our nations. All the havdalot hamavdil ben or lechoshech ben Yisrael ha'amim ben kodesh lechol. It's the attempt to erase everything wherever that it may come from. The need, a deep, deep existential and psychological need to erase. There is no difference between men and women. And if you dare talk about an identity of a nation, Jewish identity, you're messianic. That's what you hear the whole past year. Sometimes even worse, you're a Nazi for even thinking that way. Overnight, that entire smearing of everything and erasing of all Jewish identity, the attempt, overnight, one night, completely erased. Nobody's talking in these levels. You see videos of soldiers on the border with Gaza. All they're dancing is Am Yisrael Chai. As we said, youngsters coming from every four corners of the earth to come back to Israel, singing Am Yisrael Chai. I'm giving up everything. I'm going to fight in Gaza for Am Yisrael Chai. Jewish identity came out overnight from the attempt to completely erase it in its strongest way that I ever remember. I'm not a Navi. My feeling though is, which I'm sharing, everybody can do with it whatever they choose. The little sources that I know, and reflecting upon the events, it feels like the end of the day's war. Next opportunities we'll elaborate on it more, on what this means. The feeling is evil, cruelty revealed its face like never before, with no covers. It seems that we have reached that stage in history that corresponds to that end of Torah stage, the end of days corresponding to the end of Sefer Dvarim. The Gra says that explicitly. As we get to the end of Torah, we get to that part in Torah which is the blueprint of the later and later parts of history. It seems that we've reached that stage in history where what the topic is, what the essence is, what we've come to, is what we read. Besof HaTorah, Re'eh, natati lefanecha hayom, et hachayim ve'et hatov, ve'et hamavet ve'et hara. And that's hitting every person in the world, Jews and non-Jews. And it's forcing people to get off the fence. The uniqueness of the Jewish people has come out in the last week like never before. What came out in the past week is the pasuk that Bilam HaRasha said, "Hen am levadad yishkon, ubagoyim lo yitchashav." The Jewish people are a people that are set aside and they don't take into account the nations of the world. Like never before, what has happened brought out. We don't take anybody in the world into account. As somebody, a British, maybe in the BBC, was interviewing Naftali Bennett and said, "And what about the civilians of Gaza?" He says, "You should be ashamed of yourself. When you bombed the Nazis in Germany, Dresden or other cities, did you ask what about them?" And am levadad yishkon. And thank God, though the price is unfathomable, we reached the level. We're not taking anybody in the world into account. Anybody wants to join, and with the hate of hate, with the hate of cruelty, with the rage of Pinchas, with the rage of my cousin, of my nephew, I'm sorry, Amichai Levy that I mentioned in the beginning. The rage! It can't be! This won't be! As one of the generals of Tzahal said, today, if Hamas is going to remain alive after this, there's no forgiveness to the state of Israel. Anybody wants to join in with a love of life and with the hate of those who love death, with the hate of those who love blood, such as the mayor of New York, such as the president of the United States of America, is welcome to join. And anybody who's going to fight this, Torah promises us, is going to turn into the dust of history. What it means for us, for every single individual, wherever he may be, is the intensity of the charged events. It's supposed to force me to think, where do I position myself in this condensed intensity of what's going on? We're living always, but now we've become aware in a thick, thick, thick soup of absolute infinite meaning in everything. At last, we have come to realize that. Though the price is beyond words. I was thinking to myself, and I'll finish with that for tonight. You know, these kibbutzim, I said, very non-religious, very leftist, not exactly Haredi lovers. I'm saying it to us. Who's been going around for days collecting the body parts? Who's doing the Avodat HaKodesh? Who's doing the Avodat HaKodesh of preparing them for burial? The halacha is, harugei malchut, you bury them with their clothing on, even with their shoes on. Who treats them with utmost kavod amit? Covering them with white cover and saying, look, the way he came in, he's coming out like a chatan. That's the utmost kavod. The price is unfathomable. Hopefully, we'll learn at last so many of the lessons that we should have, could have learned on our own before, and we did not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to force us in the hardest way to realize our identity, to realize our oneness, to realize our truth, to realize our Arvut Hadadit, to realize how zealous we are for life and for love and for goodness and for chesed and for giving with infinitely. And how much we are appalled and hate anything which is the opposite of Torah, of Chaim, of love. Should we be us and all Klal Yisrael zoche to take advantage of these days and to elevate ourselves to places which are way above and beyond normative routine life? This is not the time for normative routine life. A lot of our routines need to continue, especially if we're yeshiva boys. But my mind is supposed to be in a place that I've never experienced in my life before. Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should give us the clarity, the koach, the oz, the ta'atzumot, the might and the strength that only Torah can provide to step up into places that normative life have not allowed us to reach, and the painful, 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 infinitely painful events from Simchat Torah are forcing us to reach those places. Should we get to get there, Be'ezrat Hashem.
I sent it out. The video will go out. We'll do it. Yeah. A lot of people ask for the video.